Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Sunday, November 5th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my mighty, incredible twin brother, John Abaya.
I am the mighty John. Hear me roar. And I get mad sometimes, so I turn to green and be adored. I try to rhyme, but yeah.
Okay, I think that makes sense a little bit.
Hear me roar and adore, right?
Yeah.
Rhyming?
I think that's what the Hulk would say, or Thor would say that too.
Yes, I agree totally.
So, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is actually up in the air. It was going to be Thor Ragnarok, but you could not watch it this weekend, right?
No. My kids were sick, and I can't go to the movies with sick kids. Am I right, guys? I don't want everyone to think that's a thing that I do. I never done before is to bring sick kids to a public area so everyone can get affected and become one of the hive.
It's like that film Outbreak.
Yes,
that's how it all started, because someone watched a movie and they were sick and they were just coughing everywhere and everyone in the movie theater got sick.
What was the one with Gwyneth Paltrow that was like really scary because the ending was scarier?
Contagion.
Yeah, Contagion. That's a scarier movie than Outbreak.
Yeah. So the main discussion is just us talking about whatever we did this past week. We've done a couple of things this past week, so I'm still going to talk about Thor Ragnarok, but
okay, cool.
John, you could talk about whatever you want that's either strange or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll think about that. Maybe. Yes. Yeah.
It'll be something or something strange. That's what I was thinking.
Or something too.
Or two what? Oh, two?
Know.
Okay.
I'm throwing two out there, too.
Before all of that, we have a trailer talk this week. This week's trailer talk is I, Tanya.
Everyone has their own truth. I was the best figure skater in the world at one point in time.
You call that a clean skate, for Christ's sake?
Do not swear in front of the kids.
I didn't swear, you cunt.
Who's that?
You two fuck yet?
We need to see a wholesome American family.
I don't have a wholesome American family.
You skated like a graceless bull dyke. I was embarrassed for you.
My entire life, I've been told I wouldn't amount to anything. You know what? Maybe I would.
That is a clip from the trailer of I, Tanya. That is actually the Red Band trailer, too. So, you know, you get to hear the vulgar language that was taking place during that time. In
the, what, 90s?
Or 94.
Yeah, 94.
Yeah. So, I am from IMDb. Once again, a competitive ice skater, Tanya Harding, rises amongst the ranks of the U.S. figure skating championships. But her future is the future in the activity is thrown into doubt when her ex-husband intervenes. The film is directed by Greg Glebsby. I believe that's how you say his last name. I apologize to him. Starring Margot Robbie, Sebastian Stan, Julian Nicholson, Bobby Cannavale, and Allison Janney. John, how old were you when this incident happened? And what was your reaction when you saw this incident unfolding in the news?
I was 10 years old. I had no idea this was happening. I think I was either in the cusp of playing video games at the time or playing with my toys. I do not remember. I heard of this moment in sports history. I don't really know how I felt. I felt maybe don't care, you could say. I heard of Tanya Harding. Honestly, I don't even know who is the second person. I don't know.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, okay, never mind. I do know the second person. Nancy Kerrigan. Her name is not... I'm not used to her name, Nancy, versus Tanya. I think I hear Tanya's name more. I think she's even in more, like, reality shows today. Like,
yes, yeah.
I don't know what else she's in.
She tried to market herself, like, years afterwards when this incident happened.
But yes, that's my history of this whole situation. I do really... true situation that happened long ago in sports. Don't really know anything of the outcome. I know it seems like she did jail time, I'm assuming.
She did probation.
Oh, probation. Okay. I hope these. I think they caught her hitting Nancy. I don't know if there's spoilers on True Lights events, I guess you could say, but that's the whole film, I'm assuming. It's in that situation, basically.
So what's your thoughts about the trailer itself?
So the trailer looks like the thing that they showed, one of the quotes. It looks like Goodfellas, the way the style of it, the way she's narrating, I guess, in her story and telling her side of the story of how she was actually, or not actually, but it seems like she was mostly not abused. I don't know if she's abused physically, but mentally abused by her mother and husband, it seems like.
Like scorn.
Yeah, yeah, basically. And then this is how she grew up. Like, her lifestyle, or not her side, her past is the thing that made her think of becoming a winner and do anything it takes to become a winner and even hurting someone, it seems like. But yeah, it looks like a funny movie. I don't know. It's hard to...
Like a dark comedy.
Yeah, it feels dark comedy-ish, but it's hard to laugh at a situation like this. I don't know how they're going to play it off. Like I said, it looks more like Goodfellas than anything else, the way the style is. But yeah, I'm interested. I really like all the actors that are in it, especially Margaret Robbie. She's past a rising star. She's like a bona fide star now, that with her, like, hit after hit, it seems like, with her. But yeah, I'm looking for...
Tarzan is one of her biggest hits, right?
Which one?
Tarzan.
Wait, she's in Tarzan?
She plays
Tarzan.
Jane.
Oh, I did not know that.
But she plays really, like, she's like one of the highlights of that film.
Okay. I did not know she was in Tarzan.
Yeah.
Still won't make me watch the movie, though. But this one, I might watch it someday, but it looks interesting. Yeah, just to see how they pull it off.
Yeah. Margaret Robbie looks unrecognizable. And it's fascinating because when this incident happened, I was like 10 years old with you. So the only thing I remembered wasn't necessarily Tonya Harding, like herself. It's mostly Nancy Kerrigan on the ground crying and yelling, like, why? Like,
oh,
why
yes. Okay, yeah. Yes. I remember that scene now. Or that
That's
scene,
like,
the
imprinted
actual
in
live
my
event.
Mind. And at the time, I thought she was stabbed. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And that was kept on being repeated in news outlets everywhere. And then, yeah, so, like, it's interesting that they're going to, you know, create a film about that incident. And what happened was, like, apparently the husband hired someone to break Nancy Kerrigan's leg. And then Tonya Harding said that she had no idea that was going to happen, and that although she pleaded guilty, I think she only got like probation and service. What do you call that? When you're civilian service? I don't know what it's called. Community service, yes. Yes. But yeah, as for the trailer and the film, it looks really like a dark comedy, and the fact that they're taking like, again, such liberties to make it a little bit more funnier, I guess. Not funny in the sense of like you're making fun of them, but it's like, it looks dark enough, but then at the same time, it looks serious because, like, the mother who's played by Allison Janney looks like someone from, like, the 80s, like, how mothers treat kids in the 80s films. Like, yes. You know, Carrie and, what's that movie, Deliverance? Or,
yes.
I forget the name of the movie, but yeah, like, it just seems like that. And then it looks very, very stylized. Like, it looks like something from the 90s, the aesthetic of it, but... You know, more
the 90s is in now, Ben. It is the retro nostalgia.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think we're done with the 80s. I think we want stories from the 90s. We got that from like OJ Simpson's two, like, you know, award winning television shows. So, it would be interesting, like, to see what will the 90s bring when it comes to nostalgia and entertainment.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm on board. I'm probably gonna watch it just for Margaret Robbie's like performance. I'm pretty sure she might get like a nomination for this.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Moving on from that. So you and I played. Oh, not played. You and I did different things over the weekend. Some may say they're strange, and some may say they're colossus. What did you do this weekend?
This weekend.
Or the past week, actually.
No, the past weekend. Actually, it took me about a week since it came out to finish this show. It's a show that I think we put in our top things of 2016, I believe. I probably have to go back to see. But I remember it's either that or the soundtrack, one of those we put. But I watched the sequel to the hit show that's on Netflix today, Stranger Things 2.
You still have that bat?
Bat? What bat?
One with the nails.
Yes. So that was a clip. I don't know which clip is it. I'll pick it up later of the show. But we actually continue where we left off from season one of Stranger Things. Minor spoilers, but it continues their journey of the kids that is played by Caleb McKellen, Gaten Matazaro, Millie Bobby Brown, Finn Wolfhard, and Noah Scalp. They basically play Lucas, Dustin, Eleven, Mike, and Will on the show. And it's their little journey through the things that are strange in Hawkins, this town called Hawkins. But they also introduce a lot of new characters that I really liked. One character that was played by Brett Graham that I really liked. He's funny. He's one of my favorite. Brett Gilman. Sorry, I'm saying his name. He is one of my favorite improvisers in comedy. And there is also two new characters in the town of Hawkins that are played by Sandy Sink, that plays Max, and the Red Ranger from the movie Power Rangers that came out earlier this year, Darth Motogormi. I don't know if I'm saying either his first name or last name right. I'm very sorry for that. But they play newcomers on the show. They play stepbrothers, stepsister, Max and Billy. And it's an interesting way to just introduce these two new characters. They don't play a huge role in the show. It's more of just like, oh, these are new people that are that get into the, you know, the little group of our D&D friends. And they go on their adventure. Other new people is Paul Reiser. He plays a really nice character that caught me off guard, because he plays a doctor that works for the government, that really nice that they have a character like him in the show. And I hope they not continue the trend, but I'm like kind of done with like the evil villain of the show and stuff like that. And the last character, or is not the last character, but they also introduce 80s heart, not heartthrob, 80s alumni, I guess, from all the wonderful 80s movies, or mostly Goonies, you could say, that is actually playing a dad in the show, or step, not even a dad, boyfriend, to Winona Ryder's character, Joyce Beyer, played by Sean Astin, and he plays Bob. I don't want to continue talking about Bob, just remember his name is Bob. That's all I can say about him. And yeah, there's also other people that they introduce. A newcomer I've never seen before. Her name is Linanna Bertheson. She plays a semi-important character on the show that I'm very intrigued to see if they continue her story too. And maybe if they do Stranger Things 3 in the next couple of years. I want to see how she evolves as a character. But yeah, overall, I would say all the performances were good. They're fine. They have a great cast. They know what they're doing. The Duffer brothers know what they're doing. They're the creators, Matt and Ross Duffer brothers, know how they are playing nostalgia of the 80s really well. I don't know if people will come back for that again. I don't mind it. It's 80s nostalgia everywhere. From the opening episode with the Ghostbusters, to every little character trope that you see in the 80s that you know very well by now, that because every other movie copies that character trope now. And even some of the stories in the show like the different paths that each character takes, there's a different story, feels resembles a 80s movies to me. Like I don't want to spoil it or anything, but just think of all the sci-fi and horror movies that came back out back then, and they basically play on that. Season one of Stranger Things had one demigod, or not demigod, I forgot what they called. Do you remember what they're called? Demi Gorgon or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there's something. It was named after the D&D game. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
yes. so, in tradition of the 80s thing, if you have part two of any horror movie, what would make it worse in the sequel, Ben?
The returning of all like the stereotypical tropes of the villain.
yes, that can happen, but also more demigorgons, whatever you call those things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
That works in monster films in the sense of, like, what's that? Tremors.
Yeah, yes. It's more like Tremors or Aliens,
yeah.
You could say, and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's more in line with that. It's a lot of fun for me just to watch it. I really love how the aesthetic of the film or the show. I will keep saying film every time I review this show, but yeah, it's fun. It's what you expected. It's nothing really new. Like I said, a lot of the tropes are there from past 80 movies that you know them well. They don't really change. I don't know if that's a bad thing, a good thing for viewers. For me, I don't mind it. I don't really care. I know what's going to happen. Nothing's too surprising to me, but I just like watching it, and they do a great job with just 9 episodes. This is like the perfect amount of show I want from this type of show. And they still end with cliffhangers a little bit, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking forward to season 3 and see what will be the next chapter to this show. Because they kind of like tied up a lot of the loose ends, but there's still like not one major one they never really encounter or tied up. And yeah, I just looking forward to that. I really want to mention one last thing. Is Kyle Dexon and Michael Stein. They are the composers of the soundtrack of Stranger Things 2. They also composed the first season, and it's very different from first season. This one, it still has that synth sound from the 80s, John Carpenter type of sound, but they do a really good job, especially in certain scenes that just shows the music just turns on, and then on the background, not like literally in the show, but when certain moments happen and you hear the actual soundtrack and play, it's really well done. It's one of the things I really like about the show. They know how to cue it up really well, and they know how which emotion to use for those type of songs. I advise everyone, if you like the first season, to watch this and just enjoy the 9 episodes.
I like how you're calling the shows films, and you say it turned into 2 seasons.
Everything's blending. Everything yeah. is just becoming one, and then becoming into the hive mind of the. I forgot what it's called.
I forgot. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's supposed to be like all of technology and minds. But yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Am I talking about that, or am I talking about something stranger?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the Stranger Things 2, because I really loved the first season. I think there were just like some minor flaws. I feel like they should have like developed more of the characters, especially the kids more. But I understand that, you know, I feel like within 9 to 10 episodes, you could develop each character really well. But mm-hmm. I don't know if because they were so into the nostalgia that they had to, like, you know, use a lot of the, you know.
I feel bad because they are still into that nostalgia. I don't know if they will ever escape that nostalgia of the show, but they're in it. They're way into deep. I don't know if that's what do you call that? The face of the show now is that 80s nostalgia. I don't know if they're ever going to break away from that. It's going to be super hard for them to do that and, you know, show originality. Because a lot of stuff you watch, even this season, isn't original. It's you've seen this before, and I don't mind it. I like what I see. But yeah, with the character developing, there are moments they in the show they actually like break off to like pairs, like each character has a pair basically. It's really cool, nice.
Like the
pairs.
Fruit, they they're just holding fruits with them.
Yes, they hold these pairs all the way through the show, and you questioned it. What? Why yeah. are they doing this? And sometimes the pairs make sense, and sometimes they don't. Especially certain pairs, they do make sense.
But do they eat the pairs?
You have to find out, Ben.
Okay.
And watch the episodes.
Did Demon God or whatever eat pairs too?
They're called demi pairs now, or
the demi pairs.
Demi pairs? Demogod pairs. I don't know how you say that. I combined mostly a pair and a demi Gordon together and made a compound word. You get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's interesting that they put pairs together, and I mean they have pairs with them.
Mm-hmm. You want? You know?
I mean, that's probably
pair?
The most unique part of the show right now, right?
Is the pairs? Yes.
Yeah, because back then they used to hold eggs. When you take care of eggs, but I guess
but
that's
those are
the,
easy to break. So now they just, you know,
yeah pairs. Yeah. I think the Duffer Brothers were raised with pairs. That's why.
Yes, I mean you can say they had a pair parents.
Yeah. but yeah, I'm looking forward in this season. I want to say season two, but it feels like it's wrong to say season two.
Yes, it feels like one huge movie. They do
part two. I'm looking forward to seeing part
two. They don't even say part two. They say two. They just say straight up Stranger Things two, and then I love how each episode is literally continuation of the next scene. Like it's not even skip a beat or I mean besides the opening credits, but other than that, yeah, it doesn't really skip a beat.
I'm looking forward in part three if they're gonna have like a tagline or a secondary name. You know how like in you know it would be like you know Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. I wonder if they're gonna do that.
Oh, that's actually a really good. How about Stranger Things 2, the Upside Down Warriors?
Yeah, because like that's how Nightmare on Elm Street was just Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Mm-hmm. And then later on they were putting actual like subtitles. That's what I'm talking about.
Were the Goonies called the Goonies? I forgot.
Yeah, they were just called the Goonies.
Okay, they named themselves the Goonies, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Goonies never die.
Do you think Goonies are the actual movie Goonies exists in the movie Stranger Things?
Yeah, it should.
Or TV show.
And then that Sean Astin is like,
watching himself
like
on
kid.
TV.
Yeah. Because Goonies came out in 1985, and this sets in what year?
1984.
Yeah. Oh, the Goonies hasn't even out yet, so they wrote themselves in a. actually did a good job of like not. Saying stuff about the Goonies.
Oh yeah, when we finally get season three, they'll say never die, whatever they say.
Yeah, you mean part three? You mean three?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they have a name yet? Like their gang?
No, they don't.
Are they called
the
Strangers?
Probably do actually. I don't really remember. Like they don't say it as much. If they do have a name, I know everything is D&D. That's all they talk about.
They'll say, interesting. Anyway, that's Stranger Things 2. It is now available on Netflix. So if you have a Netflix account, please watch that. Please watch the first one, too. So I've also played something that's nostalgic from the 1960s. Well, it sets in the 1960s. I played a video game that came out this past weekend or week titled Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
We got to set this right, Grace. Put the fighting spirit back in the American people. Ignite a revolution.
You want to strike fear in the Nazis? You want to cause some real motherfucking havoc? Well, then you come to the right woman. You still got some Nazi fighting killing skills up in you? I got a plan that's going to send shockwaves throughout the nation.
Get this freak show on the road.
Show it out in the blaze of glory, hallelujah!
That is a clip, a very, like, a loud clip of the trailer of Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus, developed by Machine Games, published by Bethesda, So if you haven't played the first one, which was The New Order, this game is a first-person perspective action-adventure shooter. I played it on the Xbox One. It is set in 1961 America. The game starts immediately after the events of the first game. Once again, you play as BJ Blazovics. I'm not entirely sure if I'm always correct saying that correctly too. And of course, you're thrust into the annihilating the Nazi Empire with the ragtag team of resistance that you are part of. So like from the opening scene, it's brutal, it's stunning looking, with treacherous action, lots of social and political commentary that surprisingly reflects today's social and political climate. And plus, like, the social aspect and political aspects of it is not, like, subplot. It's actually the entire story and the main plot. For those who don't know, Wolfenstein's story is about what if the Nazis won World War II and 10 years afterward, America is ran by the KKK.
Whoa.
They work simultaneously with the Nazis. So it's unsettling at first, but overall the story is quite good. It's told really well. I'm only a couple hours in, but I'm enjoying every bit of it because of the story. Of course, it's just like a regular, you know, typical shooter. You know, you get your ammo, you get your health, you save people, you do certain missions, there's certain puzzles. It's nothing, it doesn't get out of that norm. It's basically the storytelling that's really well done. One of the best new characters is Grace Walker. Who is voiced by Deborah Wilson. For those who don't know who Deborah Wilson is, she was a regular a star on Mad TV. Her personations were Whitney Houston and Oprah Winfrey. You know, she played like the more manic Oprah Winfrey. She was always like crazy in that, her impersonations. She is the leader of the American resistance. So she's like this tough and audacious black woman who leads the resistance with their ploys and missions. It feels like they were inspired by like the Black Panthers and during the civil rights movement, which puts that in a weird commentary, because like if the Nazis won World War II, I wonder if the civil rights movement ever happened after that, because the civil rights movement took place after World War II. So it'll be interesting. It's interesting that they include that in the narrative, even though it never actually existed. But more power to them, because it is a very bold way of telling the story, and that it's pretty cool because it puts the it removes the whole like stereotypes, and then like it puts actually the black woman in charge of everything. But overall, I'm not gonna spoil anything. It is very bold, I say, like ambitious, especially the first 30 minutes of gameplay. You do a certain thing that you've never done before in any shooters, and I think they did it really well. I recommend it. I played it on Xbox One. I think it's on PS4 and a PC. So if you're a fan of Wolfenstein The New Order, this is not going to disappoint at all.
I didn't finish that game, by the way, if the listeners want to know.
Yeah. I didn't finish it. I watched video afterwards, and then I started playing this one.
Yeah, that's why I did too. I didn't have time. I was probably halfway done with the game, but a lot of things come up, and I don't have it in me just to like play video games, especially a game that I want to know the story, but I'm not truly invested in. Mm-hmm. To play it, that's the thing. I've rather like watch the story, so I don't know if I'm gonna ever play. I know months ago I said, oh, I'm so excited to play Wolfenstein 2, the New Colossus. But now because I have a Switch and play Mario Odyssey,
Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey. I feel like I don't feel like killing Nazis right now. I want to travel the world. So I'd rather do that right now. And probably when I do have time, I'll try to either watch it on YouTube or play it, the New Colossus.
And then I think some folks need to remember that this game was in development for about 2-3 years already. And there are reflections of like, what had happened the past year from Charlottesville to the uprising of like the alt-right, the white supremacists, and everything and that. And it's included in the game, but I think it was included not after the fact. I think they kind of predicted what was going to happen.
And well, I feel in that world, they predicted.
Yeah, yeah.
In that so, Wolfenstein world, if you have the Nazi ruling the world, you know exactly what's going to happen to mostly.
And then there's like a little bit of like a subtle, you know, commentary on what is happening today. Like Grace Walker says something in the line of like, you know, we should never find any sort of what do you call it? Like we shouldn't agree with our ideologies when it comes to like the Nazis. Like we shouldn't have a compromise. Like they hate people. Why would we compromise with them?
Yeah.
In that sense. So that's kind of cool to see. Like she's not afraid to say it, and it's kind of cool to see it coming from her. And then like BJ Blazkowicz is just more like a helper, a pawn to the bigger plan.
He is not like the...
He is a hero, though. Like, yes, people know of him. So there's other stuff that has to do with, like, Area 51. And it's really
what?
Cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But yeah, that is Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Please play it. Moving on. So our main discussion was Thor Ragnarok, but of course John could not watch it. So I'm just going to talk about it.
Wait, let me come by yours. La 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 la. I'm not hearing this.
No.
Spoil it.
I'm just going to really talk about it. So okay. Our main discussion is Thor Ragnarok.
Asgard is dead. And it'll be reborn in my image. I thought you'd be glad to see me.
We need to stop her here and now.
To prevent Ragnarok, the end of everything.
So I'm putting together a team.
Like the old days.
Surprise. This will be such fun.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a fighter.
Not a queen or a monster. I'm the goddess of death.
That is a clip from the synth-heavy trailer from Thor Ragnarok. The music is from Mark Mothersbaugh-Barrow. I'm saying his name completely wrong again. He is the frontman of Devo. Whip it good. So that's why there's a lot of like synth heavy like music in the film, because I think Taika Waititi likes that type of music. I think it fits really well. Anyway, from IMDb, this is the plot synopsis. In prison, the mighty Thor finds himself in a lethal gladiatorial contest against the Hulk, his former ally. Thor must fight for survival and race against time to prevent the all power Hela from destroying his home and the Asgardian civilization. So it is directed from Taika Waititi, starring Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Kate Blanchett, Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum, Tessa Thompson, Carl Urban, Mark Ruffalo, and of course Anthony Hopkins. It is a lot of also cameos, guest stars, a lot of little things in this film that was really great. So without spoilers, I'm not going to say anything about the film that will spoil everyone's viewing pleasure. I thought the film was great. I'm a huge fan of Waititi's work, from Eagle vs. Shark Boy, What We Do in the Shadows, The Hunt for the Wilder People. You can see throughout the film his comedic sensibility, especially when it comes to Thor and Hulk's dynamic. The supporting cast were the highlight of the film, from Jeff Goldblum acting like his most Jeff Goldblum Lex-esque like, to Tessa Thompson's tremendous performance as Valkyrie. She was the glimmer of light from all this. Even Waititi's character, won't say who he is in the film, stole some scenes. I love how vibrant and innovative the entire world Sakaar was. From the production to the creature's design, everything about the world was wonderful to look at. I love the soundtrack, the music from Mark Mothersbaugh music, very synth-driven. And I also love the Easter eggs, the cameos, and just the hidden nods to his previous films were also fun. Overall, I think what Waititi did was to dismantle Thor's or even Marvel's sort of formula and rebuild it from a fresh new eyes. You see some of this from James Gunn's like Guardians of the Galaxy, where they insert a little bit more comedic aspects to it, a little bit more fun, a little bit more vibrant with color. And I think Black Panther is going to probably continue that. I don't know about the comedy aspect. I think Black Panther is a more serious film. I think it's a serious superhero to be told. Like his story, what he has to go through is a lot more serious. But Thor has always been... John, how are you a fan of the first Thor and Thor the Dark World?
Yes, I am a fan of those films. I really like Thor as a character, the fish out of water of everything that he does in the throughout the Avengers and his own movies.
Okay. I'm gonna expand more. Thor is well known for his films not being that great from when it comes to like Marvel or even film fans. I think they're really cool. I think that story is funny to me. I like stories like Encino Man and like Blast from the Past, or even like it all came down from like Back to the Future, and like how you're put into a world that you're not familiar with. And I think Thor is a great example because he's super like Shakespearean, and you know, it's very like that in that vein of being like a play and theater and everything. When you see these characters in the first film, I mean, there's a reason why Kenneth Branagh made that film, because Kenneth Branagh made like Hamlet, he directed Hamlet and all these other like Shakespearean plays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool to see that and then turn it upside down, and you have Taika Waititi's like, you know, funny view of it. And then we have a lot of serious films already, so it's pretty cool to take it not so serious.
Some people, though, think that the MCU is too funny now.
I'm for it. I'm really for it.
Same here. I really don't mind.
Yeah, I think it's just how you use your comedy. Like, if it moves the plot or the story forward, then just keep on using it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did, like, there are some parts in this film where they pay off some more... grounded and more honest performances, where you feel bad, like you actually feel like, oh, this is going to happen to this character, I feel bad, like that.
Mm-hmm.
As for the cameos and guest performers, they kind of take you away from the movie, take you out of the movie, but it's pretty cool. It's so cool. I think this film is really good. I don't know if it's the best Marvel film of the year. I still give that to like Spider-Man Homecoming. I think that one's a pleasant surprise, just because what they did with the, I think everything about that film, from the villains to the, you know, actors and everything, was really great.
Yeah, same here.
So that is Thor Ragnarok. It is out on theaters right now. Hopefully everyone will go ahead and watch it. The next up on the last tail end of phase 3 is Black Panther before we get the Infinity War. So looking forward to that. I think we're going to have guests with that one too.
Mm-hmm.
So before we leave, John, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on the Nintendo Switch playing Mario Odyssey.
We're going to talk about Nintendo's Switch, about the Super Mario Odyssey next week. So we'll try to get a guest for that.
I don't have my friend code. If I had it, rememberize, you know, like my what do you call that, my social security number, yeah. I would give it out, but I don't.
I think
have
your friend code is longer than your social security.
It is longer. I think it's about 16 characters long, or not as long, but long, and you have to remember 16 digits, not even digits, it's letters and all this stuff. But you can catch me, if you follow me on Twitter, I'll be tweeting some photos from Super Mario World and continue my photo album of just me playing games and comic books.
And you have a very organized Twitter feed, so I highly recommend it if you want to see what he's done the past year when it comes to what he watched, listened, played, or read.
Wait till 2018 when my Twitter feed will be literally a organized Twitter feed from everything that I've done in 2018.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to probably start doing that too. I don't like posting photos on Twitter. That's why.
I don't like posting photos of myself. I do sometimes post like photos of my kids, but they don't usually show their face. I think I recently showed the Bendy ink machine that we made for my son that or we didn't make the whole machine. We made a costume for Bendy. We made Bendy, and he was a hit in Halloween. But the question that every parent asks every time he went up to the door and asked, you know, trick or treat, are you Felix the Cat? And my son is like, no, I know who that is, but no, I'm not him.
Yeah, they were adorable. Watch his sons on your Twitter feed.
No, don't watch my sons.
Oh, okay, never mind. You can find me on the interweb at Benjamin Abaya on Twitter and Instagram. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find our past episodes on iTunes or any of those podcast apps that you guys love and adore. There's too many, I say.
Yes.
We're going to expand our most freaking awesome things of this year, probably next week too. So looking forward to that. What else is there? Oh, yeah. If you want to email us, contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. We haven't forgotten our shout out fan to Joel. My brother hasn't read it yet, so we're going to get to it whenever he reads it. But it's surprisingly really well put together. That's going to be like a shout out. We're going to probably have like a segment like shout out to like folks that have recommended or gave us things to review or talk about in a sense and give our impression. But that's it. So I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.